It's time to check in with our media critic. Some call him a editor, a former editor of the Post-Dispatch. I call him the editor of the Post-Dispatch. Dick Weiss, you were there for 30 years, and you were with the Metro Section for 20 years. You also have a website, weisswrite.com. That's where you can get your musings, your blogs, and past segments of this segment on your website at weisswrite.com. Dick, welcome to Big 550 KTRS.
Great to be here again.
Good to be here again. You're losing a little bit too much weight. I'm really you need to start eating.
I've been working at it, running, and lost 30 pounds since January 1st. I attribute it to the stress factor of coming on this show.
Or the stress-free factor of not going to work every day and trying to put out a daily newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you look good. 30 pounds. All right. Let's talk about the everyday section, which is no longer the everyday section of your beloved newspaper, because this is, first of all, this is a story you broke 3-4 weeks ago that this was all going to change. Are we happy with the new everyday section, which is no longer called everyday? It's called health and fit, I guess. That's right, right?
That's the Monday version.
Oh, this is the Monday version. What was the one with the kissing cam?
The Kiss Cam was called Here and Now.
Oh, okay.
Now it's spelled Here and Now, H-E-R-E, and Now, in the paper, but online, at least in one place, it's H-E-A-R, Here and Now. So maybe if you can listen to it online, I'm not sure, but
gotcha.
It seemed to lack some consistency.
Gotcha. All right. Are we happy with this change?
It doesn't matter whether you're happy with it or I'm happy with it. It's whether the readers are happy with it.
There are some indications
that they are not, because as the Post-Dispatch disclosed on Sunday, that, reading between the lines, I'm presuming that they are not all favorable. They seem to have some problems, at least as in the Post-Dispatch account, not so much with Here and Now, but with the Get Out section, which had the comics and the puzzles folded in navigating that. The staff is having difficulties with the Here and Now section, which was one section that was kind of invented as a result of this cutback in news space for features.
Right.
To recapitulate, the everyday section to be a standalone section. There were also weekly sections, health and fitness, food, get out, and so on. And they basically folded the everyday features into the weekly theme sections, except there wasn't one on Tuesday, so they kind of dreamed one up called Here and Now. And at the scene for you, on this past Tuesday, five staff members from the Metro staff went into the news meeting, which is unusual. It's not that they're not invited. The door is always open, as they say, at the Post-Dispatch. But they went in, and they just sat in the meeting for a little while and listened, because they wanted to hear what the editors were going to say about the Here and Now section. Not a whole lot was said, and finally the editors turned to the reporters and said, you know, what are you doing here? And the reporters basically told them, I quote from an email I got, they said, quote, this sucks. And from there a conversation ensued in which there were a lot of complaints about the section and the thinking that went into it. Following that, the editors, Pam Maples and Arnie Robbins, decided to have a staff meeting in which everybody would be invited to have their say. And from what I understand, it was standing room only, with lots of complaints and opinions given. But they kind of got control of the meeting. They got Christy Bertelson, who will be the new features editor, got the flip chart out, took down lots of ideas, and then a memo went out to the staff afterwards thanking them so much for giving their opinions and trying to make this a better newspaper.
Well, I can't imagine any time a newspaper changes anything, I can't imagine anyone ever writing a letter saying, hey, this is great changes, right?
Right.
Because the only people will call in or write in are the people who don't like the change.
Yes. Arnie Robbins was once quoted after making some changes to the TV section as describing the feedback as scream research. In terms of the negativity that you'll get in the early going.
Right.
And people get used to it.
Right.
But what they were complaining about with this particular section was that there was no substance there. It was froth and trivia, and for the people with the attention span of a gnat.
Right.
And they were the reporters were very upset about
that. And this, we see this in newspapers all over the country, and that is trying to go after the person who doesn't necessarily read the newspaper on a daily basis. However, you're upsetting the people who actually do read the newspaper on a daily basis who are buying your product.
Good friend of mine and colleague, Harry Levins, used to say newspapers are for people who like to read. And if you're trying to appeal to people who aren't, you face a losing battle.
You're in the wrong business. It's a legitimate beef because newspapers obviously are trying to do everything they can to get as many readerships, to get as many people as possible to subscribe so they can get as much money for their advertising.
Right, and as they're reducing staff and cutting back, it is more and more difficult to do really solid enterprise reporting and to do compelling stories. And so the tendency is to go with that. Let's come up with something that's kind of light and hopefully lively without a whole lot of substance, because it takes time to get that substance.
Let me ask you this question. This might be a little too inside baseball. And how much do the readers of the daily newspaper actually care? But you're on the outside looking in now, and I'm sure you had your own issues when you were at the Post. Is it worse now than when you were there, or is it just because it's a sign of the times, so we just think it's worse?
In terms of the content of the paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there are times when the Post-Dispatch has its moments. There is a terrific story, for instance, that Todd Frankel did on the fishing. I think you pointed out to the guy who caught illegally.
Oh, right, yeah.
Pulled in a fish.
He cheated in a bass tournament. Yeah.
In a bass tournament. That was a terrific read. There was a great read Sunday by Stephen Gingrich on triplets who attended the Rockwood School District, and he took you through their life growing up, riding the bus out to Rockwood to get a great education. Those are great reads. Actually, those are the kinds of stories that would be in a great feature section.
Right.
But the Post, by my sense, is that the Post has fewer and fewer of these moments because the staff is smaller and smaller. It stands to reason.
Right. And those are the things that keep people coming back to the newspaper. All right. Let's move on to some other things. It was last week in which Mike Wallace asked presidential candidate Mitt Romney if he had premarital sex. Seems like the last two or three days, I mean, it happened last week, last two or three days, this has really garnered a lot of attention. Fair or unfair question from Mike Wallace to Mitt Romney?
I would not have asked that question. I think you're free to ask almost any question you want, and you can look good by doing it,
right,
by asking a great question. Or you can look silly. I think he looks silly, but he's got, 100 years in the news business, and he's asked a lot of great questions.
Right.
And so I suppose he can be forgiven for this. I thought that, though, that there was a lot more heat around the kinds of questions that Katie Couric asked the Edwards family than there was around Mike Wallace. Maybe you've noticed more of it.
I've noticed the last couple of days this Mitt Romney story has gotten a lot more attention. Now, with the Edwards piece, she was asking questions about are you putting your career ahead of your wife's cancer and all those types of things. Took a lot of grief for that. But I'm not so sure in this Mike Wallace interview that was a question he had written down planning to ask. Seemed like the conversation turned that way.
All right. Mitt's talking about the hormones jumping.
Right.
And
right.
He says, so it was probably a spontaneous moment. He asked it.
Right.
It was probably more a Barbara Walters kind of question.
Yeah,
From my point of view.
Yeah.
But you're going to have him on Wednesday.
I'm going to have him on Wednesday.
So
I will not be asking him this
question.
You won't
be?
Well, because he asked and answered. On to the next topic.
But you might ask him what his reaction to that question was.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's a good thought from an editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. But he did when he said, if you're Mormon, you tend to get married younger because of those raging hormones. And that then led the door to open. Plus, he has five boys or something. All right. But I do find it interesting that these presidential candidates normally bypass local media when they come into town. And the national media asks them the same questions 17,000 times. So Wednesday, my plan is not to ask about gay marriage. It's not planning to ask him about Giuliani's, abortion stance, or, the goal for me is to ask him questions that he has never been asked before.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole idea.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's been asked a thousand times, what are your thoughts on the war? So how, what benefit is it to ask him one more time? And I guess the goal is to get him off of his stump speech.
Right. Right. So,
whether I succeed or fail, that's a whole other issue.
So, what are you going to ask him?
Well, tune in Wednesday and find out. Is Jerry Falwell, was that a big story last week?
Yeah, big story. It was interesting the way it was played in the media. The cable stations, you know, Anderson Cooper, 360, he could spin anywhere on his chair and he was looking at Jerry Falwell. The newspapers across the nation, some played it above the fold, you know, when the paper folds at the top.
Right.
You can see it on the newsstand. You can see Jerry Falwell or not. And I did a quick little survey. Houston, Richmond, Virginia, Dallas, Morning News, LA Times, Kansas City Star, above the fold. Below the fold, Post-Dispatch, Washington Post, San Jose Mercury News, Miami Herald, San Francisco Chronicle, and the New York Times.
Hmm.
On the three major networks, NBC and CBS, lead story. ABC, not the lead story. They went with word that there was going to be an immigration reform agreement,
okay.
Which actually was a
nice
coup. Now looking at big story. And Howard Kurtz, a media critic for the Washington Post, asked Charles Gibson, he happened to be doing a story on him and interviewing him, why he didn't lead with Jerry Falwell. And Gibson said he did not want to venerate the man. He was an important figure, but also a very divisive, polarizing figure in American life. And so he made him, I don't know, the second story.
It's interesting, though, in your look of the newspapers, the conservative newspapers were all stories above the fold. The quote-unquote liberal thinking or perceived liberal newspapers all below the fold.
Pretty much. L.A. Times was above the fold, a little different, but they were not only perhaps conservative but also southern.
Right.
Leaning, and maybe they know their audiences. Certainly in Virginia, I couldn't blame him. He's a local guy.
Right. But if the New York Times is below the fold, and the San Francisco is below, and the Chronicle is below, and the Dallas Morning News is above, I'm not saying there's a giant conspiracy. I'm just saying that it's
interesting. Yeah, it seemed to suggest something. It also suggests, I think, that more and more the media seems to get off on figures who are say things that are polarizing, and that gives them even more power. It was interesting that Al Sharpton, who probably is on the opposite end of things from Jerry Falwell in many ways, had nice things to say about Jerry after his death. And I attribute it because they're both playing the same game, and they appreciated what they were doing, which is to get people's attention.
Right.
And what the media doesn't do as much is to go shine a light on people who are bringing people together. You know, on this abortion issue, for instance, people can get together, both sides, on adoption.
Right.
And we don't see those people highlighted.
That's a good point. Last question for you. I'm going to teach you a thing or two about a thing or two. This Opie and Anthony story,
yes,
where they have been suspended with pay from satellite.
Yes.
And the question is, why did they get suspended and it's satellite and they should be able to say whatever they want no matter how bad it is or isn't?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't read this anywhere, but XM and Sirius are looking to Washington to merge.
Right.
So they don't want to upset anybody in Washington, D.C. They make some crude joke towards Condoleezza Rice and First Lady Laura Bush. They're going to be suspended because they're gumming up the merger talks.
Yes, hidden agendas all around. That was one of the issues that Rupert Murdoch had. But an issue that comes up in terms of this speech is that, you know, there's this is called, I think, called rape pornography, the
what
way in which
said
they talked about Condoleezza Rice. Well, of course, that's all over the web. And so are you going to just go out and suspend anybody and everybody who puts material out there? Then you really get into some First Amendment issues.
But if XM and Sirius weren't looking to merge, Opie and Anthony would still have a job.
They get a free ride.
And still be on the air.
Yeah.
And that's my point. Dick Weiss, former editor, one of the former editors. Well, his job was a former editor of the Metro section of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite.com. Dick, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay, thanks.